New business, item number 2.8, Klamath Ranch Quarry, UPO 907, SP2402.
Right, Klamath Ranch Quarry Land Use Permit UP 0907 was approved by the Planning Commission on December 2nd, 2009. Not all conditions of approval were met and mining never commenced, therefore the permit was not vested. The use permit is not valid as identified in conditions of approval number 13. To formalize the termination of the permit, staff recommends the Commission adopt the resolution recommending Board Supervisors find that UP 0907 is no longer effective and the Board revoke the use permit and determine this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15321, Enforcement Actions by Regulatory Agencies. Thank you.
Okay, I do have questions, but I will wait. Either of you at this time?
Well, it looks like there was activity on that quarry. That would be my question.
I'll bring it up when we open it up, but you're following the path I'm going to follow. I'll open the public hearing. Pros, cons, neutral, rebuttal, hearing closed. Commissioners. She's here for the general plan.
I know.
Okay. So Bernadette, this particular use permit was contingent upon if I remember correctly, a portion of the reclamation. And it's a bit of a mute point now. I'm just curious if it ever happened, was that the operators of this mine were going to repair the road, top coat, from the ingress egress of this mine west a certain distance. Did that ever occur, and has it since been destroyed by the dam removal traffic? And there's a reason for my asking this. I'm waiting for this answer first. Was that component of the use permit done or implemented?
So I'm looking, trying to find where that is a condition of the use permit.
I remember it very clearly because this was one of the longer use permits that we discussed here.
Is that where they took the gravel for the freeway?
No.
This is brown gravel.
This is, if you're headed up Ager-Beswick and you make the right turn, you go across the bridge, it's up, it was up on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
And one of the conditions was, as part of the reclamation, that and the county Public Works was here during that hearing, and that's where the comments came from. And I think, Rachel, you might have been in your first year on staff. None of the rest of you were here. I think you were just starting.
I'm sorry. I was like responding to email. I missed the first part of what you said.
On this, on the Bernie mine, this one we're on right now, the Klamath with Mr. Bernie. I think you were just on staff back in 11, weren't you?
I don't remember, honestly.
2011, you weren't here then.
I may be the only one that was here.
Yeah.
No,
Dusty was here. Okay.
Tony was here.
You were here? Okay.
You weren't here because you started the same year before me.
No.
2017, right?
Mr. Carroll wasn't even here.
No.
What I remember is that there was a fee per yard that they were to be charged.
There was a fee per yard that was going to be charged, but there was also road repair or improvement, both prior and at the conclusion of the mine operation. Yes.
I'm curious because within the conditions of approval of this, it does note a mitigation monitoring and reporting program. So I wonder if that what you're speaking to is actually reflected in that.
Yes, it was supposed to be in collaboration with County Public Works. And there was going to be funds set aside both pre-operation, during operation, and post-operation.
Do you have a copy of the MMRP?
I probably do. What I was going to say is that I'm surprised that if it wasn't met, that the planner, Mr. Hickel, didn't
include. Mr. Hickel wasn't even around when this one was passed.
Right. So where I'm going with this is that when he wrote the letter saying that the conditions haven't been met, he only included conditions number 2 and 11. So that makes me wonder if that condition wasn't met, because he didn't include it in his letter saying why we're not issuing your, why you can't use this permit is because you haven't met condition 2 and 11. He doesn't mention the condition that Haley just talked about.
And what is this picture of?
That is the current site.
That is what it looks like. Well, not now.
Right.
As in the last 3 months, it's pretty bare. I think there are a couple of vehicles parked up there still.
I remember Caltrans wanted that quarry. They wanted to use the material out of that quarry for some reason.
Well, that was going to be one of the quarries for a short haul for their Anderson Grade project.
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about.
But it never materialized out here.
Because that, where they had their batch plant was very close to the Klamath River.
Right.
And they had to meet specific things to use that batch plant.
Didn't want to muddy,
and one of them, I'll never forget, they had to shut the engines off on the truck while they were waiting to load.
Right. Yeah, no, this was going to be the Anderson Grade primary site, but it never materialized. Yeah. And that's why we had those conditions, because we figured, okay, there's going to be a heck of a lot of traffic coming out of here, headed down that stretch of road. We had residences concerned with the current condition, and that's why part of the memorandum with the county was bring it up to code now, maintain it during, and then make sure it's back to where it was before you started at completion. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I asked the question I asked.
Okay. But through the chair, just a general update on information. So since the Bernies had it, Res Corporation has purchased the mine site up there. And we currently have a code case against them, essentially, for operating the lay down yard. They're outside of the zone, so they're in a zoning violation currently, amongst other things.
That was my second line of questions, so you've already answered that one. I guess my whole reason for this is I know that road, Copco Road, now is
a mess.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of a clear path from point A to point B, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. Make sure your seat belt's buckled and wear a hard hat, because you're going to hit your head on the roof of whatever vehicle you're driving. But was a fund ever created from this where the county could utilize some of those funds to do repairs, because I know it was supposed to have been put in an account.
Yeah,
and since we don't have any staff that was over here then, I wasn't sure you all were aware that that had been done. That's something for staff to look into. There may be a fund, an account, that Public Works, it would be specifically earmarked for Copco Road, but it was specifically with this use permit. So I'm passing that on. Any other questions? Mr. Dean answered my second one, because I knew it had changed and had issues.
Yeah.
So
I just would add, for public record, with the dam removal, CDD, Environmental Health, and the public in general, or the county in general, made public comment on the dam removal piece of it. And Environmental Health specifically commented basically that all the concrete material should be recycled and utilized for roads up there, which is not the case. It's all buried in place along the banks. Something that goes against state law, right? Cal Recycle, everyone within the state are required to maintain recycled regulations, which were completely ignored for this project.
Well, in state and federal Army Corps, we used to be able to use concrete as riprap to stabilize banks. That became illegal both federally and state years ago.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy on record.
Thank you.
With that, because there was plenty of source up there, it's all been buried and disposed in place. It could well have been utilized for roads.
Understood. Thank you. Well, I will entertain a motion.
Your turn.
Okay, my turn. I move that we adopt resolution. Make sure I get the answer. I move that we adopt resolution PC 2024-016, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, recommending that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors revoke the use permit of Klamath Ranch Quarry UP-09-07, make all necessary findings required under the Siskiyou County Municipal Code, and to determine that the project is exempt from California Environmental Quality Act.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Revocation is approved. Moving on to our last revocation, item number 2.9, Nash Pit UP-9808 and SP-2402.
Okay, Nash Pit Land Use Permit UP-9808 was approved by the Planning Commission on November 3rd, 1999. Mining of the site never commenced. The determination that no reclamation was necessary due to no mining disturbance was made in 2016. The owner expressed their desire to close the mine but retain the use permit in a letter dated April 16th, 2016. The use permit is no longer valid as it automatically terminated when not used for the approved purposes within 2 years of the approval per notation number one of the use permit. To formalize the termination of the permit, staff recommends the commission adopt the resolution recommending the Board of Supervisors find that UP-9808 is no longer effective and that the board revoke the use permit and determine this project exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15321 enforcement actions by regulatory agencies. Thank you.
Okay, questions at this time?
Not right now.
I'll open the hearing. Pro, con, neutral, rebuttal. Hearing closed. Commissioners, before I ask my questions.
I have a question. If a use permit is not used within 2 years, or if it is used, do you have to renew it every 2 years? Or can it go for a longer period of time?
Use permits, Senior Planner Rachel Jarrett speaking, use permits run with the land. So
okay.
Unless they have some specific conditions associated with it that terminate the use permit, they run with the land until they are revoked.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, so this was the last project that my predecessor voted on before I took his seat, Alvin Lewis. And this project took nearly a year and a half with three site visits to get approved. It was more contentious than the Kidder Creek use permit for the camp. It was originally submitted back in 98 because Caltrans was going to be doing a repaving of Highway 3 over the course of couple years, essentially from Scott Mountain to Wairika. And the company that was going to do it was partnered with Nash's to get this use permit because they wanted to use material from Nash's essentially from Nash's to Wairika, and then they're going to use from Moore's gravel from the top of Scott Mountain, the Trinity line, to Aetna or somewhere in that area. Caltrans backed out of doing all that. So this pit was never even created. My question, is it, would we be saving time and headaches to not revoke this one and leave it open for a renewal by Nash's and whatever company ends up doing it when Caltrans pulls their head out? Because I can foresee if we make this official and revoke this one, we could be in for a year-long process again trying to get a use permit on this site approved, which is going to waste your time. And it could be one of those time-sensitive contracts with the state and Caltrans, whoever the contractor may be, where it may not be approved in a timely manner, so it can be used. That is my question.
Stephen, did he pass
away? Steve passed away last year. Yeah, it's just Dusty and Joe.
He lives there.
Dusty still lives there. And Joe manages it.
So the issue I see with that is that the state of California has deemed this closed. So that it revolves around the reclamation plan. So they're saying in their letter that mining has not occurred. The owner operator has indicated their intent not to mine the site. And so basically, their take on it is that reclamation plan is closed. So in order for them to reopen this, they're going to have to get a rec plan approved. If they submit that to the state, because the state said that this is not valid, that would be pushback from the state. They'd still have to go through the whole process of getting a reclamation plan approved. So even if they use this existing use permit, they still will have to go through the reclamation plan process. Not saying that the use permit couldn't stand, and then they get a corresponding rec plan established.
And see, I hear what you're saying. The rec plan alone was kind of the focal point of the contention.
Yes.
And if Caltrans is wanting to do a project and has a contractor and needs the material, I really doubt, I'm willing to bet that the rec plan that was done for this particular use permit would automatically, the state would adopt it. That's why I'm saying we could save time and heartache and headache, not to mention a hell of a lot of money on behalf of the county for going through and doing multiple hearings and site visits again. I'm just trying to think ahead to save the county headaches. Because I don't know how much money the county spent just on this project alone. This forced Alvin to step down from here.
That's where you live.
Yeah.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
Number of years ago, didn't Moore Gravel provide the rock for chip and seal on that road because the other one did not meet the standard, or is that, am I thinking of something else?
Moore does chip seal throughout the county.
They still do?
Oh, yeah.
That's
okay.
Rock and roll.
Yeah. And a lifetime supply of it. Yeah.
Yes,
But this one was done to cut costs because transportation would be a lot shorter.
Yes.
They'd be able to run from two different sites, which met the traffic issues that concern everything coming out of Moore's. Traffic use was going to be an issue, and that's why this location was identified. Nash's agreed to it,
okay,
and went through the process, but then Caltrans didn't do what they said they were going to do in a timely manner. So I get...
Caltrans probably doesn't communicate with Bureau of Land, the mining community, so.
Oh, no, they don't, and they're operating on a budget, and it's probably not gonna be anything soon. I'm just trying to save county money.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. I think I defer to county council regarding the notation on the use permit itself. Specifically says this use permit is automatically terminated and all rights there under rescinded when not used for the above purpose within 2 years of approval, or if once established, not used for 1 year. A 1 2-year time extension may be granted subject to the county review of approval.
And I don't think the, I think they started a 2-year extension but then pulled it because that was right after I got on here.
Yeah. And I also know, and the reason I'm asking county council, you know, there has been litigation for use permits to remain in place.
Those don't work, Bill, so don't even.
Just speak loudly.
All right. Automatic termination really more generates a standard of how immediately and without opposition the permit can be terminated at a hearing. If it was truly automatically terminated, we wouldn't be having this hearing. It actually does depend sort of on an implied finding of fact that somebody should be able to step forward if they wanted to and contest they actually did something in those 2 years. A true automatic termination would have a hard date. Anyways, automatic termination more just sets the standard perhaps for this hearing that the property owner almost can say nothing if he's done nothing in 2 years in order to keep the permit open. Terminating the permit is in the discretion of the county. Still, even if it does say automatically terminated, it's not automatically terminated until somebody takes action, which is what we're doing today. So if the Planning Commission wants to recommend that there may be usefulness to this permit to the Board of Supervisors instead of following the proposed resolution here, they can do that. Certainly I know we have had a long legal battle before when a permit was terminated without proper notice, even though staff and eventually a Board of Supervisors hearing was relying on similar language. That was a Stanley Swenson permit. I'm familiar with that permit. I actually did the briefing at the Third Appellate District. And that permit still exists today. I guess I'm digressing a little bit, but automatic termination does not mean automatic till the county takes action with this permit. And it's in the county's discretion to take the action. I know the Department of Mining Resources wants to have our books clean, but I don't think they can force the county that I know of to close a county use permit.
So here is the question for you, Counselor. We are at a revocation hearing. Our options as a commission are either A, to approve the resolution and revoke said permit, or B, not revoke the permit, in which case the permit remains in limbo because no activity has transpired within 2 years of its issuance. We don't need to come up with findings per se, other than we have discussion in the minutes that we're hesitant to revoke this specific permit for the reason that it potentially could be a site in the near future I guess does it save, is my thinking correct that it could save time and county tax dollars to not revoke this should it come before us in the next year or two to begin operating?
I mean, yeah, I mean, it seems so. I mean, it's an unexamined question by me, obviously, since you're just bringing it up. And second, everything you just said, I would suggest this is still going to go to the Board of Supervisors since you're still recommending. It's going to go up there whether you recommend yay or nay.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Because it's a because under the county code you're making a recommendation, and that could be yay or nay to the board, but just because you're saying no doesn't
mean. Okay, I see. So that they can counteract us if we were not to revoke this.
They could still.
This continues to the supervisors, but staff, y'all would say, the Planning Commission opted not to revoke this one for the reasons that have been shared today.
Yes.
Okay. So then we leave it up to them to make that final decision, either to overrule us or side with us and let it go.
Yeah.
Okay. Because all the preliminary work for this pit was done. They rerouted the ditch, they planted all the vegetation. 60% of the vegetation survived and is growing, but I mean, all the prelim work was done, but ground was never broken. And it's simply a matter of, once again, the state not doing what it thought it was going to do. And personally, I would, on this particular one, I would not support revoking this, and I'd let the supervisors make that call.
Good.
I think, in my mind, there's enough reason not to revoke this one.
They also used to mine across the west side of the creek. And you were a little fellow when that was going on.
Yeah, right,
and
yes.
They took more material out of that than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Going up the I-5.
Yeah.
And you went by there today, you said they didn't take anything out
right
of there.
There was a lot of material.
What? You remember that?
Big one. But yeah, but I remember this old burn dump right there next to me.
Yeah, what would that have been?
Shope was pulling out of there. That was Shope was pulling out of there.
Yeah. Schoonermaker.
Yep.
Early 7.
Yep.
Early 7.
Yeah. Right around bicentennial time, because the gravel trucks were running when we did that bicentennial covered wagon deal from Irica back. And
that's
cool.
Happened.
Yeah. I rode them.
It snowed that day.
Yep.
You were 6 or 7.
That was on the 4th of July. It
snowed.
Yeah. Yep. It snowed on us up by the con camp because we were coming the old road and it was dusting the snow when we got up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
So I've made my feelings known.
Okay.
I would prefer not to revoke this one and leave it in the hands of supervisors for the reasons previously stated.
Counselor and staff, is that a good route to go? I don't have a problem with it, but
it's a legal route to go.
Okay. Good enough.
So I move that we not adopt. Is that how you
move to not revoke?
Perhaps move to recommend not to revoke and direct staff to transmit the reasons stated.
Okay.
What counselor?
I'll move out. Wait,
no, what counselor just said?
Eye contact.
Would you repeat that, sir?
Sure. That the Planning Commission recommend to the Board of Supervisors not to revoke the permit and direct staff to transmit the reasons stated at this hearing. Or the Planning Commission's reasons.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I didn't hear anything from Commissioner Vila. Support?
Yes.
Okay. Let the record show unanimous to recommend not revoking Nash Pit UP9008 SP2402.
Yes.
All right.
2.9.
Now we get to recommendations done. We are to item three, discussion direction, and we have the one item, the ongoing staff update regarding the general plan. Ms. Cook, do you want to wait until after we have the staff report?
I would like to hear the staff report first.
All right.
Thank you.
So staff report, I'm guessing, is going to be Ms. Lang?
Yep.
Haley, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you. Haley Lang, Planning Director. So I probably mentioned last month, but following the six community workshops, we had posted the surveys and exercises so folks could still continue to provide input up until July 31st. And so the consultant team right now, they're going through the comments that were made, and they will be preparing a report on, you know, key themes and takeaways from that feedback from the public. They are still working on, you know, the edits related to the existing conditions background report. And they also will be posting an additional newsletter discussing deliverables and key dates in the future within the next few weeks. Something I'm working on right now with the CAO's office is trying to schedule the upcoming joint Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors meeting. And so the consultant team is wanting that to occur hopefully before November. And so I'm hoping we could either schedule this joint meeting during one of the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisor meetings or one of the regularly scheduled Planning Commission meetings, just because, you know, from either party you have committed folks there. The purpose of that will be going over the feedback from the exercises, the surveys, and the workshops, as well as working on creating vision and guiding principles. So that will be the, you know, main intent of that joint Board Supervisor and Planning Commission meeting.
Before you continue.
Yep.
Do our consultants and do you as staff feel that the baseline report will be done by that time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because that's my understanding.
I have a feeling that's going to be of great interest, because until the baseline is completed to the satisfaction Supervisors Planning Commission, the rest of it is mute.
Yeah, and I would say potentially that information contained in the background report may help you all define what vision and goals and guiding principles are.
That's why I want to make sure there's no sense having a joint meeting until that baseline portion is completed.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Totally understood. Totally agree.
Okay.
Some other, you know, key deliverables to think about. So after this joint meeting occurs, the consultant team will start getting ready for the zoning code revisions and the general plan preparation of the elements. These will occur in tandem. They're set to, you know, for draft, final, public meetings. Everything related to those items will go, you know, into the next year, you know, February or March. But they do occur pretty much in tandem. And, you know, just, I know everyone knows, but just to reiterate, you know, we have a contract and funding for a general plan update to update the zoning, the land use element and the zoning code, right? So this is really a land use heavy update, but we're calling it comprehensive because we also have funding for a noise element update and then an open space and conservation element update, which are required by state law. We have an up-to-date housing element that was just recently approved, and staff will be initiating and leading the safety element update and also the circulation element update. And to further clarify, we're hoping we could utilize the regional transportation plan, which will be updated in the next year or so, as kind of the basis for the circulation element, since a lot of the policies and you know, government code sections and things you have to discuss are already going to be contained with that. And then additionally, for the safety element, we will be heavily relying on the local hazard mitigation plan update, which is currently occurring. Brian Chinoni from OES and his team, they're working with a consultant team on those efforts as well. And then obviously we'll have public meetings and we'll be filling the gap of anything that needs to occur with both of those elements. So I just wanted to, you know, reiterate that.
So before you continue there, so if I understand correctly, staff is working on the safety component.
Yep.
OES, Brian, I just saw him at the gas station on his way to Forks yesterday. They have a separate group of consultants working on hazards.
Yes, for the
and
local.
And then we have our consultants that are doing the land use, which has, so those three all overlay and intertwine.
Yes.
So is there a communication between our consultants, OES's consultants, and you all?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm very much involved in the local hazard
mitigation. I just want to make sure we don't have three different paths getting
Correct.
Created here.
And that's why we're trying to be efficient with, you know, time and resources and not repurpose the wheel if we don't need to, right? So,
music to my ears. Thank
right,
you.
Right, because, you know, hope is long-term longevity, right, is just re-updating and utilizing these things and not going through a full update every 4 years because we're not coordinating our efforts. And I do actually think within the past year or so, there is like an SB or an AB related to this with the safety element in the local hazard mitigation plan. So the state wants that to occur. And so we're kind of at the forefront of that, which is really nice. And we're also in communication with, you know, the state, CAL FIRE, other folks related to things that would be pertinent for a safety element in local hazard mitigation plan. And they're all on board with that. So lots of efforts happening at the same time. And then what else? And then obviously, you know, after there will be draft zoning code revisions taking place in the draft elements, that's when the EIR scoping process will also occur. So lots of stuff going on. In terms of public comment, I think, you know, due to the workshops and the surveys and folks, you know, getting more familiar with this process, we've been getting a lot more questions, a lot more public comments. I would say, generally speaking, just a lot of clarifying questions. You know, obviously hazards is at the forefront of a lot of people's comments, wildfire particularly. We've also received a lot of comments related to water conservation and water usage. And State Water Board and all of those bulletins that are, you know, posted with the State Water Board. We've been getting members of the public sending those over, wanting those to be integrated, so and sending that to the consultant.
Wanting them to be integrated?
Yeah.
How so?
I haven't looked into it deeply, but certain, like, water conservation measures, wanting those policies to be brought forward for water conservation and water consumption.
As part of the general plan?
Yes. Yes. And then we've also received comment that folks are wanting to see a standalone, like, water quality element. So I've been having to...
When you say folks, who are folks?
Oh, members of the public. So...
Are these people that don't realize we have a TMDL for all three basins? That we have state water law and state water code?
Yeah. I don't know.
And we
yeah.
have a general plan, which is county.
Right. Yeah. And so that's been, you know, something that's been occurring within the office.
So there's this also... could be an interesting joint meeting.
Yeah, yeah. And also, too, a lot of folks from the incorporated cities have, you know, reached out and also explaining that it's a county general plan, unincorporated portions of the county, right? Each city has their own general plan. So if you want to see that happen within your residing city, you know, contact those officials. So it's been a lot of, you know, education just on, like, the process and what even a general plan is and why should you care about it and why do you care about zoning code updates and things like that. So.
All right. Just as a note, and then I'll, are you finished or?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Before we, as commissioners, ask questions, Ms. Cook, I will give you the mic if you have questions, comments. You chose a great day to be here because you have all of our undivided attention.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. My name is Angelina Cook. I live at 540 Edgewood Court in McLeod, and I am here today commenting on behalf of the McLeod Chamber of Commerce. We, as you likely know, we are an unincorporated community, and we are adjacent to industrial sites that continue to be mostly vacant dilapidated and slightly hazardous. We, as an unincorporated community, we lack jurisdiction for economic development, hazard mitigation, and planning. And so we do see this general plan update as an opportunity to try to address some of our unmet needs, but we are unclear on exactly how is the best way to go about doing that. During the initial community meeting, literally nobody was notified of it, and I think one person attended. I think she showed up like 30 minutes late. So there was absolutely no effort to inform the service district, the Chamber of Commerce, the Watershed Council, nobody about the meeting. And so we are asking for more meaningful participation in this plan update. It seems like the zoning code revisions might be an opportunity to address some of our unmet needs, but again, we don't have planners, and we're not very familiar with the planning process. So we have a letter. We do plan to submit an official letter. It's almost ready for submission, and so I'm just trying to let you know that we are interested in this process. We would very much appreciate guidance on how to engage in a way that will be most efficient and effective for McLeod. And so that's the gist of it, and thank you.
So, question for, I'll aim it at both of you. We obviously do not have a county newspaper anymore.
Yeah.
And more and more people are getting off of tech because of emotions, and you don't have headaches when you don't get on the computer.
Facebook, you mean?
What is, for the McLeod community, the best avenue for getting news to the people? Is it through the chamber? Is it through the service district? Because McLeod's not alone.
Yeah.
Scott Valley, we had some attendance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah.
We don't have a reliable, timely means of getting announcements out.
That is a fair question.
So, who or what should be the point for Haley and our staff to send notices?
Between the service district, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Resource Center. And we do provide that contact information on the letter we're about to submit.
Okay.
So emails to those three organizations would be sufficient. We can get the word out. We can make flyers. We are pretty old school in McLeod. And flyers work. Like, we like hanging flyers in visible spots.
Okay.
And so that, I think, until we do, hopefully, maybe one day get a new newspaper, that would be the best.
Okay. And so, for your clarification, Haley,
mm-hmm.
there is going to be another round of meetings, public hearings.
Correct.
As part of this process.
Right.
So that you know, keep an eye out for that notice.
And I am aware of that, and I was thinking that in order to be prepared for that, we need a little basic preliminary education as far as how do we prepare ourselves to be ready for that meeting. And I don't know if that's an option, but...
Yeah, I'm in communication with the Chamber and Amos from the CSD, so we could I could come down there for another meeting or something related to that. At any point in time, though, you are able to submit public comment. I mean, really up until, like, the final general plan element is adopted next year, right? Like, up until that date. Our website, SISCU 2050, has a lot, and I'm just pointing my finger over there just because Rachel's showing it, but it has a lot of information of just basic, what is a general plan, what are we doing, what are key dates and deliverables to look out for. There is also, I think under like a resources or documents tab, we do have all, everything that's been happening to date and also newsletters that have also been created. If you guys wanted to take a look and get, you know, updates of what's currently happening so far there, you can also sign up to be a part of the subscription so you get any updates. And then there is like a comment tab on the website as well to submit comment. You can also always contact myself or my office in general for general plan comments, and we will, you know, look at those and then relay it to the consultant team who's preparing all of the you know, elements and documents and things like that.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. I think we probably would take you up on your offer to come address the community. I know that a lot of us have felt underwhelmed by the level to which comments actually do get incorporated into official documents. So we, just because we're so, we have so many issues and we're so under served.
Well, yeah, so the CSD only serves like water and sewer, right?
Yeah,
so
we just don't have.
And snow removal.
Yeah.
And alleys.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the concerns you have or comments you want to make regarding vacation rentals. Is that?
No, we understand. We understand that the housing element has already been adopted, and but we highlight that as an example of how we kind of get mistreated, just because we do have that elevate the double the VRBO cap than all the other communities. So it's, we're just trying to figure out how to get better representation in the county and how to address some of our unmet needs. If the general plan is an opportunity to do that, we want to take advantage of it.
Sure.
To the chair. When they were talking about limiting the vacation rentals, why didn't the services district send any information to us? To the county?
I think the chamber did. The service district doesn't get political. They're very...
Excuse me, they are the governing body under the board, are they not?
They are, but I'm trying to let you know that they do not...
They don't
take initiative. They feel, I think they feel understaffed. And, yeah, I mean, they kind of do...
You still have a board in McLeod, right?
We do have a board.
Elected.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
That's one of our challenges with the McLeod community. Is there are several of us here on the commission when we see vacation rentals and whatnot being proposed. We don't get comments at all on concerns that the district may want addressed prior to or as a condition of approval. And it's like, please tell us, this body here, we're not political. We're very black and white.
Right.
Is it legal? Is it not? Is there an issue? Can it be mitigated? Can it not? We deny.
Yeah.
We're very black and white, quasi-judicial. We are not the supervisors. We thrive on input to put the best project in place if it can be approved, to send on to the political body.
Okay.
So, by all means, encourage your district to communicate with us when we're asking for information.
Okay.
We rely on that input for our decisions.
Okay.
Through the chair. Yeah. And I'd like to just say, yeah, for the CSD meetings, I've been to a number of them when I'm asked to talk about things such as vacation rental or other issues. So if anyone wants me to talk about anything, I've been there many times, they just have to reach out to me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We focus on public health and safety.
Yeah, I think you're familiar with the term, it's not our jurisdiction.
Right.
And I think when it comes to anything dealing with economic development, they just opt out. Okay. And so the chamber will chime in, but we're also not a governing body.
Right.
So.
Well, thank you for coming today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
So, questions of Ms. Lang on the general plan portion? I just have one note that I want to throw to her.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dusty.
Well, I understand CalOR is getting a $5 million grant to facilitate fiber optics. Is that, are you
updated on some of the activities going on with fiber optics?
I am. You know, I'm not, but I do know they had a table at the fair, and they said they were going to be in Byrica within the next few months, I think.
October.
And then I was bummed because I live in Weed and I've been wanting to switch out of Vi, and like my specific neighborhood, they said they'll never be there by the mill. So
the labor and fiber optics down Scott River Road. How many years ago did they do that?
25? No. The new line is almost fully completed.
But I mean the old line went down there 20
years.
That
wasn't fiber optics.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Buried. Oh, it was the phone. That was phone line. It was not fiber optic. Oh. Big difference. Fiber optics is what they're just now completing, and I think they have 4 miles left before they reach 96.
Right.
And then it'll meet up with what's already been laid on 96.
Okay.
That's Siskiyou Telephone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
My question, actually a comment for you, Haley. If this joint meeting happens in October,
mm-hmm.
we can do it on a supervisor day. If it happens in November, November through March, if it is on a Tuesday, I will not be here because we're going to be in basketball season.
Okay, thank you.
And I know how long the joint meeting will go, and typically November, December, Tuesdays, I'm headed to the East County. And so I've got to leave here by 11 in the morning, and there's no way a joint meeting will be done by 11.
Right, okay, thank you.
So okay. Wednesday works, because there are no
in
East
November.
County games
okay.
on Wednesdays.
Okay.
We're still in commission comment?
We have not reached that yet. We are item 3. Any other questions or comments on general plan update?
No, sir, thank you.
All right. Now miscellaneous, next meeting. September 18. Oh boy, hold on. September 18, am I going to be here for that one? Danielle may have to be here. I am questionable for that day, so we need to make sure Danielle and or Blair are here, because I may not be here on the 18th.
Okay.
Correspondence. Rachel.
So just kind of related to what you guys were talking about with fiber, we were contacted by a company who is doing a project to deliver high-speed broadband service to the unserved and underserved communities in Siskiyou County, and they were contacting planning to see what permitting requirements we might have. For the particular section that they were talking about, we don't, but it sounds like they're going to be heading downriver, and it's the MM, an acronym for it, Middle Mile Broadband Network, I think is what they're called. So that's something that is going to be expanding. It was the permitting manager for the subcontractor Bonfire that contacted me about that. So just somewhat related to...
When you say downriver, which downriver? Which river?
Klamath. So they said it's a fiber optic broadband facility and with cables in new conduit and then in existing conduit, and it would be the Klamath River was what the map was showing me. And let me see.
But they are not entering into Siskiyou Telephone territory?
I don't know how it relates to Siskiyou Telephone.
Because aren't there FCC limitations on when a company can enter in another company? Because there's kind of like the unwritten Siskiyou Telephone doesn't come to Yreka.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, Siskiyou Telephone was granted essentially, I think, from Horse Creek all the way to the western Siskiyou border downriver, coming back up Scott River.
So this is the map that they sent me. For this particular one, it looks like it's Hawkinsville to the Klamath River. And
okay,
then they
so
are
this
also
stretch, just this little piddle dump here.
Siskiyou Telephone, their logo's there, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Oh, maybe they're doing it with Siskiyou Telephone then.
I would not be surprised.
But why didn't Russ contact you?
They were contacting us to see what permitting planning might have. Planning has no permitting requirements for this because it's in the road. So it's an encroachment permit issue.
I'll talk to Russ about that.
So in any case, heads up that just related to what you guys were speaking to before. It's not something I was planning on mentioning, but since you guys brought it up, I did. Also, we got an email from the Department of Conservation regarding their farmland mapping and monitoring program. This was an email from August 5th, and they have a draft 2020 Siskiyou County Important Farmlands map. I printed it out, and it's on that table right there. And they
are. You know what you
can do with it? Say that again?
You know what you can do with it? I've already seen it.
Okay, so I'm just letting you know.
Very inaccurate. Hey,
I'm letting
nice
you know that.
No. I'm just telling you that was a waste of taxpayer dollars because where they're saying the ET rates are highest are on gravel. Their data collection was in error when they collected it.
So what the email said is that if you wish to comment, please provide comments within 90 days of receipt of the email. And then they have noticed that request to map changes should be accompanied with evidence of land use or irrigation status, and then they give some contact information. So if anybody would like to comment on that or would like to see it, we have it available, or the Department of Conservation can be contacted with their comments that anybody might have.
I've already commented. We sent about a 40-page document and just started scratching the surface. It is so screwed up. Big time. And this is what they're wanting to use with State Water Resource Control Board.
Absolutely.
Is using this map to overlay the Harder study, which we used in our benefit, to essentially curtail and issue limitations on irrigation based upon the data collected for this map, which is in serious error. Now, I don't know how many millions of dollars they spent on it, but it's worthless.
They ain't going to tell you either.
Now, there are alfalfa fields that their data shows low ET, and then you get out on the eastern hills above Moms, all along the east side of Scott Valley, high ET rates, excessive irrigation, water loss. It's not even irrigated. Their numbers, when their computer was talking, was completely in error. So thank you for bringing it up. We've already commented.
So if anybody else you know would like to comment, please advise them that is available.
Thank you, Rich.
You're welcome.
Bearer of the news. Any other correspondence? Dusty, you had a question on Siskiyoutil.
Well, I just thought, didn't it sell? Isn't
no. It's still held by Hendricks.
Oh, okay.
Russ is currently the CEO and doing a great job. So, all right. Staff comments beyond correspondence? Mr. Dean.
Just an update. We're commencing the fire hazard debris removal, cleanup, and a head fire down the confluence of the Scott and Klamath Rivers, basically. Working with Cal EOS to do exemption for CEQA, so to speak, for cleanup. And just for the record, we've reached out to the tribes for cultural consultation on site. Did not participate. Karuk tribe has pretty much let us know that it's not their area. Have talked to Roy Hall with the Shasta, and he's going to get back here if you want to participate.
That's Jimmy Johnson's crew was doing the timber pullout in that reach, weren't they?
Yeah. There's one property there that they logged on the Oliver site. And they completed that. So we're looking at fire removal and then also the hazard trees along Rocksterry and Scott.
Good. Other staff comments? All right. Commissioner comments.
I have one. When they started talking about taking the dams out, there was always a carrot put out there that Siskiyou County was going to receive $20 million. Did you hear that rumor around that?
I did not hear that rumor around there.
Did you anybody hear that? That they were litigation among this thing?
Part of the deal was there was going to be a X amount of dollars for Siskiyou County,
right,
not the government. It was going to be dollars put into reclamation.
Okay.
You had to read the fine print. Okay. It's not coming to the county as in county government.
Yeah.
The project area, there is buku money out there right now, and actually the Crooks have a lot of available to them for areas outside of the Klamath River proper for doing projects. And it is in the neighborhood of $20 to $40 million.
I thought it was coming to the county, but it's not.
No.
There also was a mitigation fund that was established that I think was near that number. Poorly managed, my opinion. So it was basically to offset impacts to wells.
Property tax.
Impacted folks for wells. Yeah. Floodplain issues. A lot of history with that that's foul. So I'll just not your name, Commissioner, but different stuff.
All right. Comments, Mr. Mello, are you good?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm good. We're adjourned.